America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Our first guest is with us already. Jennifer, is it Macon or Mackin, Jennifer?
It's Mackin.
Mackin. Okay, you're a Forbes book author of Leaders Deserve Better, A Leadership Development Revolution. I'm a big guy on leadership. I think it's one of the things we lack in this country on a regular basis, whether it's in politics or in the business world, or even in the volunteer world, Jennifer. So it's a big deal to me. How do we need to change things moving forward?
Well, what we need is we need companies to take responsibility in preparing leaders. Mostly we work with the corporate world versus the political or volunteer world. So when I work with them, it's about getting the CEO, the head of HR, and their team to take responsibility, learn how to do it differently so that their people, leaders in particular, will be prepared for the future, because they're doing the same things they've been doing, which really are just not working, and people are just not ready for this crisis and whatever crisis comes next.
Okay, so I think we're on the same page. What are they not doing to prepare leaders? Or maybe I should say it this way. What have they been doing that maybe needs changed that's not working any longer?
Sure. What's not working are some of the traditional ways that we're developing leaders, such as a lot of lecture format, where we're just giving leaders information, they're taking notes, and then they're supposed to somehow incorporate that into their
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Or they're going to universities, which are very much theory-based focused in general,
and maybe
can't come back. Yeah. Right. Digital sometimes doesn't work as much as that's improving. So what I'm also suggesting, though, of what we need to move to is not just how the competencies that we're providing for leaders and giving them the skills, but more importantly, creating an environment. That's what this revolution is about, is this environment within companies where CEOs, teams, HR connect the people development strategy to the business strategy. When those things are linked, then everyone understands what that learning, what that development means, and how it should be applied. Secondly, we need leaders in the organization, the top and next layer, all of them, to be taking responsibility and accountability for developing people that report to them. And that seems to be secondary to maybe their functional role.
Gotcha. I'm not a person that believes everyone has leadership capabilities or that everyone can be a leader. I do believe there are certain people that make really good leaders and certain people that maybe do not. Do you follow with that, or do you feel like anyone can be trained to be a leader?
I follow what you say. I think that almost anyone is put in that position and very few are successful. And they're successful because of some of their natural characteristics that they bring to the table, and then those skills get leveraged in the right way once we provide them.
Gotcha.
And not everybody wants to be a leader anyway either, but
right.
Part of the problem is we continue to promote people because that's what success looks like. And we've got to show them other paths so that they
well
see
said.
Being a specialist.
Well
know,
said. Thank
and
you.
Can also be successful.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, because there are folks out there that, number one, don't even want to be the leader. We shove them into that position sometimes, and we wonder why they fail at that position when, in fact, they didn't want to be there in the first place.
That's right. And then we lose them usually completely
because
they have to go to another organization.
They're now a frustrated employee versus somebody that feels successful at what they've done.
Correct.
Yeah, no, very well said. Okay, number three. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that's a big deal for,
not at all.
For me anyways. Yeah, go ahead, number three.
No, thank you. Yeah, number three is that we have to reinforce and practice what's learned. And that really falls off. I think that even if the best development program, you're sitting there, you're learning, you're excited. You know, I've got a new coaching approach. I've got a way to manage performance differently, whatever it is. And you go back in the office and you're slammed with work. It just kind of goes on the back burner, even if it's really great development. So we've got to create an environment where that's appropriate to reinforce either through your peers or with your leader. So that leader comes back and says, this is how it ties to where we're going.
Right.
This is how it ties to your success. Then it's really going to stick. Lastly, the one that is a little controversial now is just that I believe it's got to be somewhat face-to-face. And
agreed.
Components of it
agree.
Need to be face-to-face.
Thank you. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, by the way.
Great, great. It's hard right now.
It is
and
hard.
We're doing it the best we can, and it's going to get back to in person, or at least a lot of interaction with like level, so that we can talk. If I'm a leader of others and you're a leader of others, we can talk about our challenges with that. What gets in the way? What have you done? What have I done? That's how it really gets to stick. And then you've got people ready to lead the charge, whatever that company or organization needs in the future.
Well said. And I coach businesses outside of what I do here. One of the things that I often find, too, that I think is a huge struggle for a lot of owners and even managers inside of companies, and that is to teach those people below them some of the things that we're talking about, but then release them to go do it and even fail sometimes, learn from that failure. That's part of leadership development. But so many leaders struggle with that macro managing because they want to micromanage because they think that all of a sudden if somebody fails under them, then they look bad. But the reality is that's a learning process for everybody, including the organization, because you learn by those failures as well.
Right. Right. John, I think that what happens that allows that to play out is that when someone makes a turn from an individual contributor to leading other people, and then they make a turn to leading other leaders, and then maybe a whole function and so on, they have to stop doing things and start doing other things.
Yes.
And spend your time differently.
Yes.
And value different types of work.
That's
and
right.
When that doesn't happen, they're doing the work of the person that should be, that's reporting to them, that should be doing that work. And that's
well
where
said.
We get this clogged pipeline.
Well said. And to your point earlier, I think the older generation, they struggle with some, and I guess I'm of that older generation as well, although I don't look at it the same way I think that even the folks that taught me did. And what you're saying is exactly true, because a lot of folks struggle with that releasing of things that maybe they used to do, but they now have somebody else there to do them for that, you know, for them even, or for the organization. But because they're so caught in those old ways of, well, I have to be involved in that or it's just not going to get done right, that's the wrong way to look at it. And we're not going to lead organizations into the next century if we keep looking at it that way.
That's right. And I've made that same mistake. I mean, these are things that are hard to
Yes,
do.
They are. And I have too, by the way. These are hard to get rid of. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, you know, that I say that. And I remember there was going to be a change where I was promoting someone to do pieces of my work, and I sat and said to my husband, I just don't know that they can do it as well as I can.
And they can't.
And they said, well, so you're expecting 25% growth. What if you only get 20% growth? Will you be happy with that and have somebody capable? And I just was like, yeah, of course.
I had somebody years ago, and I think this applies even to the leadership end of it as well. So bear with me here. But I had I was in the automotive world forever. I had multiple stores, and we took care of, you know, truck accessories and auto repair and all these different things. And I had somebody, and being in that business, by the way, you meet all sorts of individuals all across the spectrum because everybody needs stuff done to their car. So you meet all these different people across wide variations of the world itself, Jennifer. And in one particular case, I had a guy that was really good at taking companies, making them public, you know, doing a full IPO and you know, taking them to the stock market. And he was a master at that and did very well. And one of the things that he told me about the company side of the fence, which I also think applies to leadership, was this. He's like, John, here's how you have to look at it. Are you better off owning 100% of a $1 million company or owning 10% of a $100 million company? Which one of those gets you further down the road? And I thought, well, actually, the 10% of a $100 million company is better than a 100% of a $1 million company. And the reality is that same principle that he taught me applies to leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that right now with the crisis and pandemic and economic conditions, what is going to separate a really strong leader from one that's not is to continually rethink your role and rethink what's required of you and your business. So if I'm an entrepreneur, I lead a corporation, it doesn't matter. The ones that are going to win are the ones that are revisiting it and saying, okay, I've gotten all this data in about the economy, about my people, about my customers, whatever it is. And then I've got to rethink my strategy and then rethink for myself, where do I spend my time? And that was kind of what he was saying to you, I think,
right,
is, you know, release some of it, but then think differently and get bigger and better. You know, I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, no, and it's hard, though. And I, like you, I've made mistakes in the past. I mean, I've been self-employed since I was 22. So trust me, I have made a vast number of mistakes along the way to get where I'm at today. And, you know, I still own a business outside of what I do here on air, and really very fortunate. I've got some great people that run things day to day, my sons being a couple of those, but a lot of other great individuals. But I learned a long time ago, Jennifer, that I cannot get where I need to go unless I learn to macro manage, look at the big picture, help my people get us where we need to go, but stop getting drudged down in this minutia of things day to day and let my people do what I've hired them to do.
Right. And yet we were promoted because we were really good at what we did, whatever that is, along the way. And so it's hard to make that shift. And that's why I think a lot of businesses, small businesses, fail.
Yes, it is.
From startup to, you know, in a short period of time.
It is.
And it's an intellectual exercise.
That's right. They get so, you know, drugged down, if you would, into this day-to-day operations of, in some cases, well, if I don't wait on the customer just like this, then you know what? We're not going to be successful as a business. And the reality is there might be five ways to wait on that customer. And as long as the process is there and we've written that out and we've done that correctly and everybody knows what the process is, how they do each little thing of that process really doesn't matter. What really matters is we deliver the right product to the customer on time and they're happy at the end of the day.
Right. And don't you think that's where innovation comes from, too?
Yes.
Because we allow people to try things.
Yes, because they may do it differently than I, but it might be a better way than I did it.
But if we also don't have measures for each individual, and this is what I think is a big leadership importance, is that they set the stage and that everyone agrees upon what does success look like, whether it's customer service and you're dealing with someone coming in or sales, whatever it is. Once we have that, we can see if your new ideas work.
And I'll add one more thing to that. I know I got to let you go, but this is a great topic. Yeah. I love this stuff, as you can tell, because it's exactly the language that I speak. And the other thing that I've learned with these new generation of workers, let's call them what they are, because they think a little differently than probably even you and I do. And what I've learned is, when I was a kid, the pat on the back for me was the paycheck. Nobody needed to say you did a great job. You got a paycheck. That was a job well done. You got a paycheck. Well, in today's world, it's not that way, and we do have to have, to your point a moment ago, those measures of success so that that generation understands that they are doing a great job, regardless of what the paycheck says, did they do a good job or not, because that pat on the back to them means a lot.
It does. It means a lot, and it's our way of saying, okay, I know you want to do more, I know you want to make more, and this is what it looks like. This is what you have to do to get there. So that they can see what that looks like instead of just assuming they can get that automatically.
Yeah, well said.
Which is also happening out there.
All right, how do they get the book, Jennifer?
Any major retailer, Amazon.com. They can also go to my website, JenniferMackin.com. And
it's for everybody listening, it's MACKIN, just so everybody understands that.
Right. Yes, MACKIN. Yes.
Great. Okay. Jennifer, I've enjoyed having you. Yeah, we'd have you back. As you can tell, I'd have you back in the future. Anytime you want to come on, let me know. There's so many things we could talk about, so many different facets. I've got a lot of fellow business owners that listen to our program because, as you know, like begets like. So we get a lot of folks that listen in that are business owners as well. And I do appreciate you joining us today very much.
Thank you, John. It's a work in process all the time.
All the time.
We all need to improve.
That's right. All right.
Have a good one.
Go get them, Jennifer. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And again, that's Jennifer Macken, M-A-C-K-I-N. She's a Forbes book author of Leaders Deserve Better, A Leadership Development Revolution. Mighty Hand Construction is next, by the way. And these, by the way, are great guys that understand this whole leadership principle we've just been talking about. They incorporate it into the people that work for them and the way they do work for you as well. Find Mighty Hand at klzradio.com or call 970-844-9191.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof, but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in Northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers. And if you want to pay for some of those things we just talked about in that Mighty Hand commercial, windows, roof, siding, you name it, Affordable Interest Mortgage can help you with that. That's what Kurt does. 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever, and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important. Your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
You're listening to KLZ 560. I'm Nicole Pascal here with your traffic and weather. So far, only one accident to tell you about, and you're going to need to look out for that on Colorado Boulevard, where they have the center lane blocked at East 13th Avenue. A couple of areas of construction to look out for. You're going to hit some of that on I-70 East at 225, and that's causing backups to Central Park Boulevard. And also, there's some construction work on I-70 East that has the area reduced down to one lane at E-470, and that one's causing backups to US 40, so look out for that. Aside from that, just some traffic to look out for. You're going to hit some congestion on I-25 on the northbound side through the downtown area. And of course, that 270 and I-70 junction is starting to build up for the day. And you're also going to hit a little bit of traffic on 225 North between Colfax and I-70. Your Skyview weather, it is currently 83 out. Your low tonight is 55 and your high tomorrow is 89.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, KLZ 560, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. I do appreciate y'all listening to us. And to follow up on what we just got done talking about with our last business expert and author is an article in the Wall Street Journal. And this is something that I've actually been talking about here basically through COVID. And I realize there's a lot of folks working remotely. Great. More power to you. I also believe that there will be some people that stay on remote work, and there's going to be some people that don't stay on remote work. There's an article today in the Wall Street Journal, what CEOs really think about remote work. And it starts off by CEOs and other executives say they've seen enough to judge whether remote work is working, but the verdict depends on whom you ask. And they give some examples of some leaders and what they're talking about working from home. Now, I will read some of these to you, but in a nutshell, what you're going to learn in this particular article is what I've been saying all along. It depends on the company. For example, Netflix, Reed Hastings, co-chief executive, says, "I don't see any positives. Not being able to get together in person, particularly internationally, is a pure negative." Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, which, by the way, BlackRock is an investment group, he says, "I don't believe BlackRock will ever be 100% back in the office. I actually believe maybe 60 or 70%, maybe that's a rotation of people, but I don't believe we'll ever have a full cadre of people." Okay. Again, what do? They do investment-type work that, frankly, could be done from anywhere, anytime, any place. And yeah, they probably don't have to be together to make that happen. On the same token, when you talk about Netflix and what's going to be, you know, brought to the table when it comes to online, you know, streaming services and things along those lines, I don't know how you do that remotely. You're going to have to get together. Here's Ryatt. I can't say the last name, but he is CEO of robotics startup Chef Robotics. "We tried it. It's just not the same. You can't get the same quality of work." Yeah, because there's a collaboration in that particular business that has to happen. And yeah, you're not going to get that collaboration remotely. Warren Buffett, "The supply and demand for office space may change significantly." I've been saying that all along, by the way. "A lot of people have learned that they can work at home or that there's a lot of other methods of conducting their business that they might not have thought of from what they were doing a couple of years ago. When change happens in the world, you adjust to it." Now, Warren's not saying that remote work works or that it doesn't work. He's basically saying there's going to be a huge shift in office space and it may change significantly. And yeah, because things are going to change for certain companies in that realm. But there's going to be others where they've got to meet on a regular basis, and that's not going to change. Dana Kennedy, publisher of the flagship imprint of the Simon & Schuster book publishing unit of Viacom, says, "We're all grown-ups, and we've adapted to the new work realities. That's going to produce permanent changes in how we all work. I'm getting my work done now, and so are my colleagues. I don't have an issue with it." Again, though, look at what they do. They're publishing. It's not the same. You don't have to collaborate in an office when it comes to them meeting with authors, making sure, you know, time demands are met and the next book gets published. It's, again, folks, it's not the same. James Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan. I don't know the future better than anyone else. I think going back to work is a good thing. I think there's negatives to working from home. We've seen productivity drops in certain jobs and alienation go up in certain things, so we want to get back to work in a safe way. This is a bank. Now, again, what do banks do? Typically, they loan money. Who do they loan money to? People, businesses, corporations. How do you loan money to people you've never met, sat down, and shook hands with? Frankly, I don't know that you can. So in his world, yes, they're going to have to get people back to work. They're going to have to get their productivity up. They loan money. That's what they're in the business of. You know, they loan money, invest money, and so on. And you can't do that by just sheer numbers alone. You have to interact with people to make that happen. Tim Cook of Apple. "It's all candor. It's not like being together physically, and so I can't wait for everyone to be able to come back into the office. I don't believe that we'll return to the way we were because we found that there are some things that we can actually do virtually very well." But he's also saying, "I can't wait for everybody to come back into the office." Why? Because Apple is a company that relies on collaboration. How do you come up with the next big invention or the next big thing when it comes to iPhones, computers, watches, and so on, when you're not collaborating together? And it's not the same, in my opinion, it's not the same as video chat. Folks, I'm just going to say that for what it is. It's not the same as video chat. One more. Andy Owen, Chief Executive Officer of furniture giant Herman Miller. "That unplanned kind of interaction that contributes so much to how we build relationship with people and how we build culture, those things are what we are missing." I think, folks, what you're going to find is even some of these people that say it's okay to work remotely, for some of their people, a lot of people that are just doing data input and so on, yeah, that may work out very well. But when there's any kind of collaboration that has to happen, I don't see people working from home forever. Now, I could see some where they spend half and half, do some things along those lines. But I do see a point in time here in the not too distant future where these companies are going to realize that there is no way for them to be really profitable and continue to grow and grow the way that they need to by having everybody working remotely. That's my two cents. Now, how does all of that play out when it comes to this shift of businesses and their employees not being in downtown areas like Seattle, Portland, Denver, LA, and so on? Honestly, folks, I don't know. I've got some ideas. I can share some of those with you, but we're at the bottom of the hour. We got a special guest joining us. I'll try to come back to that, and or Andy and I can talk about that more on Tuesday. Purify Chevrolet is up next, though. They want to help you out with all your vehicle needs, and it's easy. Go to purifychevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311. Plenty of inventory for you. They can work on your GM vehicle as well. Make sure you mention Rush to Reason. It's purifychevrolet.com.
My first name is Steve, and I began going to Purifoy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I've bought five cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Folks, Ascent Health Center, Dr. Julie was on with us. Or no, it's Enchanted Kitchens, Charlie. I'm not doing that right. It should be Enchanted, right? I'm not doing that right. It's not Ascent. It should... Okay, well, while I'm talking, change it to Enchanted, if you would, because we did Ascent earlier in the day already. So let's do Enchanted Kitchens next. And folks, if you need anything done when it comes to your kitchen and you know, making it the centerpiece of your home, it's easy. Go to klzradio.com. You can do /kitchens, but just go to klzradio.com. All of our sponsors are listed there. And it's easy. They will actually walk you through what it takes to make your kitchen that centerpiece, give you a 3D model ahead of time. You can literally stand in your kitchen, you know, via, you know, this virtual kitchen, but really see how things are going to work, how it's going to function, how all the appliances fit together. And again, it's easy. Just go to klzradio.com, find Enchanted Kitchens, or call 303-376-7588.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern, but for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ560. Our next guest joining us now, it's Kyle Bradell. Make sure I say that right. Did I get the last name correct, Kyle?
Yes, he did.
All right, RTD candidate. And for which district, Kyle? I'm sorry, I didn't have that in my notes.
It is for District A, and District A is Colfax to almost all of downtown, then down I-25, get off at Yale, and then you segue back up through Lowry and back to Colfax.
So pretty good section there. Okay, which is a big section, RTD services. All right, first things first, why do you want to be an RTD board member?
Very good question. I get that asked all the time, of course. And so one reason why I want to be on the board is to begin to streamline RTD. And one way to streamline it is to start to consolidate operations and personnel. And the best reason that I share with people is, take, for example, the light rail lines that RTD has. RTD says that we have 8 light rail lines. Well, that's not really true. That's only because they overlap with each other. There's really only 4.
Right.
You have Golden, Santa Fe, I-25, and the Aurora line.
Right.
And by consolidating from 8 to 4, we can improve the operations, the labor, and the costs. And the best part is we would be able to put 2 trains back into Aurora that my present RTD director voted to take away. But there is a catch. The only way to make it work, to put 2 trains back into Aurora, is right now the Aurora train goes from the Peoria station all the way down to Ridgegate on I-25.
Okay.
Well, there's no need to go that far south. Just stop the Aurora train at Bellevue and transfer to go north or transfer to go south. Because the time it takes from Bellevue to Ridgegate and back, just that section.
Long way.
The exact same time of Bellevue back up to Peoria.
Right.
So overnight...
That's common sense. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, and there's no additional cost to the taxpayers because you're just stopping the train at Bellevue and turning it right back around.
It's already running. And the reality, too, for everybody listening, some of you would say, well, why do we run trains at all? Well, the reality is we don't have any choice. There's a lot of federal funding that's attached to that. And the reality, Kyle, and you know this as well, you're not going to get rid of the trains. So we need to figure out how to best manage those that we have because they're not going anywhere, correct?
Exactly. That's correct, 100%.
For all of you conservatives listening, I'm one of those. I don't like the trains any more than anybody else does. I think they're a huge waste of money from the get-go, Kyle. But the reality is they're here. We have to manage it. You're not going to get rid of it. So the reality is let's manage it the best we can, get the best use out of it that we can, and continue on because they're here to stay.
That's true. And that's what I tell people when I go door to door here in the entire district is that there are ways to tweak RTD and make it better. We don't have to dismantle the entire thing and start all over again. If we look at what we have and think about, hey, do we really need to have this operation? Do we need to do this? Or do we need to change this HR policy in order to hire more bus drivers and train drivers faster than waiting 4 to 5 weeks just to respond to an
Correct.
Application?
Correct. Well, and on top of that, Kyle, to your point, RTD is something that was established when I'm a native of Colorado, and I remember before RTD existed. I remember when I wasn't old enough to vote, but I remember my parents even talking about the vote and the different things that were going on and the pros and cons at the time. And the reality is it was voted in by the state of Colorado. It has been re-voted on and even had tax increases over the years. And there's been votes on lines running up north to Boulder, Longmont, and so on. So the reality is these are things that, you know, whether conservatives like it or not, the taxpayers of Colorado years and years and years ago, even when Colorado wasn't as blue as it is today, Kyle, voted this stuff in. It's here. It's not going anywhere. But to your point, we need to learn how to manage it better.
And that's very true. And another example is for the past 2.5 to almost 3 years, I've been a volunteer member on RTD's advisory committee for people with disabilities. So if you're in a wheelchair or if you're blind, we think of ways to make the buses and trains and accessorides better for you. And I'd say about 2/3 of the time when us volunteers tell the employees of RTD, hey, what about this idea? Why don't we do this? And 2/3 of the time it's always, well, you know, we don't know if we can do that. That may be too difficult. Well, why are you asking us volunteers our opinions and ideas if you just shoot them down immediately?
Because, Kyle, it looks really good for them as politicians versus really instilling what you guys are actually telling them. I'm being honest. That's my feeling on why they do it.
Oh, no, I know. Yep, I know. And I can tell that with the employees, when we share them with our ideas, especially mine, because I've traveled literally all over the world, and I've observed and experienced metro systems in Singapore, Cairo, Tokyo, and London, Paris. And not that we have to be exactly like London, but why do we have to have such difficulty with our buses and trains? And if you don't even want to listen to the citizens, the voters, the riders and taxpayers here in the Front Range, then what's the whole point of having this?
To your point, there isn't. And I'm like you. I'm not saying we've got to do it like it's done in other parts of the world. But I also am one that says, Kyle, I think the other, and I realize COVID has slowed this down some, but I'm a car, anybody out there listening knows I'm a car guy. I don't know whether you know that or not, but I'm a car guy, transportation guy. This is what I eat, breathe, talk, and have for the majority of my life. And the reality is I also know this. And COVID's maybe slowed this down some, but automation is coming. Automated driving is something that you can count on. It may be not going to come in the next 5 years, but at some point, Kyle, we're going to have automated driving. I am one that feels like that's going to put an additional strain on RTD, because when people figure out they can hail an automated car, have them picked up and delivered exactly where they want to go, the reality of getting on a bus, I mean, you know, still need public transportation for some of those that maybe can't afford that ride-hailing service per se. But the reality, Kyle, is the bus system is going to find less and less riders on it as automated driving continues to go up. So RTD needs to figure out a way to incorporate the automation that's going to come on the automobile side of the fence and what we have on the train side, which you just got done talking about, because frankly, those are going to be the two sources of getting around. The bus system, I feel, is going to be really, really diminished when automated driving happens.
Yes, and to carry on with that point about the automation, about a year or two ago, RTD was doing some testing out at the 61st and Peña train station there.
Gotcha.
Where they had an AI car, but with someone in there, just in case anything went wrong.
Right.
There was someone to stop it. But they spent money on that, and they also had federal tax dollars and grants to help that. But I never heard much more about that, if that was a success or not. So RTD is, at least they're trying to, in some way, think about the future, but not fast enough and practical enough for what we need right at this moment.
No, and thank you. They are not. They are not even getting close to meeting the needs along those ends. So when it comes to, you know, just the budgetary thing, because the other thing we know is a big challenge right now for RTD, and I don't have the figures in front of me. You probably do. What is their budget shortfall right now that they're most likely going to go to the legislature and ask for to make the, you know, to fill the gap? What is that number?
Well, it keeps on changing, it seems like, every day. But I think the last number I saw was about $200 million,
okay.
I think. But that's just for the rest of this year, if I recall correctly. Like I said, it changes almost every day, because last week they said they were going to cut 600 jobs, and then 24 hours later they said they were going to cut millions of dollars from our budget. So the board of directors, the Reimagine RTD committee, and the new committee that the governor and the legislature created this past June, the accountability committee, they're all trying to figure out what to do. So there's a lot of, shall we say, chefs in the kitchen right now that are trying to figure out what to do with RTD in almost every respect.
Okay. Also, I was also reading there's a website, Colorado GOP, so it's cologop.org, and there's a little article in there about you and some of your stances. And one thing that, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know until reading this, and I'm glad that I did. I didn't know that there was even much talk in regards to putting a tunnel in from the I-70 Empire area all the way over to Winter Park, which, by the way, would take a huge load off of what's going on with Berthoud Pass, that 24-mile drive that, you know, as you and I both know, takes 35, 40 minutes to make that trip across there. Where are we at on that? I mean, to me, that's a fabulous idea and would take a huge pressure off of that entire area if that could be done. Where do we stand with that?
Yes, that is an idea that I've had for a number of years now. I don't know if CDOT actually has that on their books to talk about it, but this is what I figured out, because I've lived in Vail and Aspen working for Starwood Hotels and resorts, and one thing that I've thought of is that why don't we build a tunnel that goes immediately from the Empire exit on I-70 and straight up into Winter Park. You can be in Winter Park in about 10 minutes because it's only about 10 miles the way that the crow flies.
Right.
And the way to pay for that is with everyone's favorite thing, which is tolls.
Toll it.
You know,
toll
it. Also do bonds, but tolls primarily, because if you do that, then all the truckers who are bringing food to the grocery stores would pay for it. Hotel shuttles going from Winter Park to the airport would pay for it.
Yep.
If you have people from Florida who are renting a car at DIA, they'll pay for it, because then they don't have to white knuckle it up and over Bertha Pass when there's zero visibility. But so there's a whole.
And it would also expand, which I know that, you know, would think the city of Denver, which has a stake in Winter Park, you know, it would expand all of that entire area, and whether you believe in that development or not. But I will tell you right now that Winter Park, Fraser, even the Grand Lake area has changed immensely, even from when I was a kid. I've been spending quite a bit of time up there lately looking at a business potentially to buy up in that area. And the reality is, Kyle, that area is going to change regardless of whether that tunnel gets built or not anyways. So yep. in to your point, that, you know, that area is going to continue to expand. Why not make it easier transportation-wise? And if we're going to build that, exactly. Build it where a train runs through that thing as well, where it's not just cars.
Oh, yes, and that's the other thing, too, that that CDOT needs to start planning for tunnels for both roads and trains.
Yes.
Because as an example, at the State of the Union address for this year, President Trump said that he wants to spend money on infrastructure, and that means tunnels and trains and bridges. And because President Trump knows that if we want a healthy economy, our transportation
yes.
must be superb to yeah. begin with.
Has to support it. If it's not going to support yes. it, then we're not going to get where we need to go. And yeah, these are great things. I by the way, great ideas. I love your idea on this 9.6-mile tunnel. If you think about it, it's not that far. It's something that could be done. There's enough technology now to where that could be done. Yeah, I realize it would take some time, but the reality, Kyle, is we don't start that process. It's never going to happen. Okay, well, I know we're running out of time. How do folks find out more about you? I know that only people in your district are going to be able to vote for you, which I understand, but yep. How do folks find out more about you? And even if they're not in your district, it still help get you elected.
Yes, so my website is KyleForRTD.com. And from here on out, I'm still going to neighborhood association Zoom meetings, Democrat Zoom meetings, Republican meetings. So you'll see me out there, and I'm going door to door as much as possible.
That is awesome. And Kyle, you're introduced to me by some folks that have been very instrumental in making sure that we get the word out and get the right candidates on and so on. And yeah, this is fabulous. And we do need some streamlining of RTD. It's going to have to happen. There's no two yep. ways around it. And as we get closer, if you want to come back on, Kyle, let me know. This is is a big deal. RTD needs to be known as something other than the rapid tax drain. This thing needs to be streamlined. It needs to be changed. And that nomenclature needs to go away, because it needs to be something that we can be proud of in Colorado. And I'll be honest with you right now, Kyle, I am not proud of RTD. I believe they have done an awful job of getting things handled for mm-hmm. us in Colorado. And that needs to change with folks like you.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. Kyle, thanks a lot again. We'll send folks to your website. When you want to come back on again, let me know before the election. We'll do our best to get you on.
All right, will do. Thanks,
Kyle. I appreciate it very much. Kyle, again, and it's Kyle, FOR4RTD. I just went to the website. Everything that's there that we just talked about is listed. It's Kyle4RTD.com. Bruce Simmons is up next, folks. He is our reverse mortgage professor. Would love to help you out with anything you've got going on with your reverse mortgage. It's easy. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-467-7821.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
All right, folks, let's save a child's life today. We talk a lot about food on Wednesdays, and there's kids around the world that would love to even just have the scraps that some of us throw away on a daily basis. And the answer of the question of the day you'll find out tomorrow. But we throw enough away each day to actually feed kids, and Save the Children is out doing exactly that. They're feeding kids, making sure they have nourishment and that they have a quality of life. SaveChildrenKLZ.org, 1-800-570-5155.
You know, there are millions of kids right now who are living in poverty. As a matter of fact, one out of every five kids in America today is in poverty. And many of those families are the families of our veterans, men and women who have served us in the military. Our friends at Save the Children are standing in the gap for these veterans who know what it's like to deal with unexpected situations in the battlefield. But then you come home and you've got school closures and isolation, can't get to your doctor's appointments. That puts an extra layer of stress on families who already have a lot to deal with. That's where Save the Children can help. Helping children of wounded veterans. Just one example of the vulnerable and often overlooked and forgotten kids right here at home that Save the Children represents. Now, it's really very basic. You give a $100 donation to Save the Children today, and that will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for 10 days. Just $100 can do that. A $300 donation can provide that same child with food for an entire month. Go to Save Children KLZ right now and make sure that these kids don't need to worry about where their next meal is coming from. That's SaveChildrenKLZ.org.
You're listening to KLZ 560. I'm Nicole Pascal here with your traffic and weather. You're going to run into an accident on 225 North at I-70, and that one's causing backups to 6th Avenue and a 10-minute delay. In town, you'll need to look out for a crash on Colorado Boulevard at East 6th Avenue, not causing too many problems there. Also be aware there is some road work on I-70 East at 225, and that's causing backups to Central Park Boulevard. And also, I-70 East has some construction work that has the area reduced down to one lane at E-470, and that's causing backups to US 40. Aside from that, just a little bit of traffic on I-25 through the downtown area, mostly on the northbound side. And of course, that 270 and I-70 junction is starting to back up for the day. Your Skyview weather, it is currently 84 out, your low tonight is 55, and your high tomorrow is 89.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And yeah, our last candidate for District A of RTD, Kyle Bradell. It's B-R-A-D-E-L-L, but just go Kyle4RTD.com. And I'm going to talk about RTD for just a moment here. We haven't done this for a while. Boy, folks, let me tell you what. If there is a organization, I mean, there's lots in this state, of course, but if there's a public organization in this state that really needs a revamp, that is RTD. Charlie knows this as well as anyone. He rides it on a daily basis. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need to just cut it, get rid of it completely, because we can't as taxpayers. It's something that was voted into this state clear back in the 60s. It's not going anywhere, but could it use a revamp? By all means, it sure could. I still, on a daily basis, view empty buses running around. I realize I travel around at different times, but Charlie's shaking his head. There are still a ton of empty buses. And every time I see an empty bus, I just think, oh my word, that is a rapid tax drain at work. There are so many ways that they could revamp and streamline, as Kyle said a moment ago, what RTD does and the services that it provides. It is the one of the, if not the biggest, behemoths that we have in this area. It's not statewide, but in this Front Range area, it is one of the biggest behemoths that we have that needs a complete revamp. And folks, we've got to get good candidates on that board to make that happen. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to spend money, coming back to the legislature year after year to make up that shortfall. If we are not careful, it's already on the cusp of becoming what the Postal Service is to the federal government, where they come and get a handout every year to make up their shortfall. RTD, if we're not careful in the state of Colorado, will become that exact same entity where they come every year with their handout to make up their budget shortfall because they're not sharp enough and or don't want to figure out how to spend within their means on an annual basis. Because, folks, there's a huge shortfall, and it's happening as we speak, and it doesn't need to be. RTD collects as much, actually, it's more. I think we figured out, Charlie, in the past, they collect more each year. Their budget, I believe, is around $2.3, $2.5 billion a year is what they collect on an annual basis. It'll be down this year because of COVID, but that's not my problem, folks. That's theirs. They need to figure out how to work with that shortfall. The reality is they have more budget than all of CDOT for the state does. That is a fact. We've talked to CDOT about this in the past. CDOT has less money to spend from U.S. taxpayers every year than RTD does. That can't be changed. RTD's money, for all of you listening that don't understand this, that are maybe new to the state or new to our area, there's a little RTD tax that you will see on every retail transaction inside of the RTD districts across this Front Range of Colorado. That's how RTD is funded. Plus, they collect fares from people like Charlie. But the reality is the majority of their funding comes from that little RTD tax that's being collected by merchants up and down this Front Range I-25 corridor, other than Castle Rock, on a every single day, 24/7 basis. Those taxes are getting collected depending upon what you actually spend money on. RTD has more than enough money to handle everything they have going on. They choose, I'm using my words wisely. They choose to not spend the money carefully enough, thereby have a budget shortfall, and are coming back to the legislature year after year to get money to meet that demand that they've got because of that shortfall they didn't plan for. And I'm going to tell them right now, openly on air, not our problem. Those of you on the RTD board, fix it. Figure out what to do, where to spend the money correctly, and fix your own shortfall. I, as a taxpayer, should not be getting charged double in taxes to make up RTD's demand. That was never the way it was intended when the vote occurred, I believe it was in 1968. That's not how that was supposed to work. The tax alone, the sales tax alone, was to fund RTD no other way. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. Out in the Franktown area, the south end of town, if you want to shoot, if you want to buy ammo, if you want to buy a gun, they've got you all handled. Don't forget Ladies' Nights on Friday. Go to klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Hour number two is done. We've got another full hour coming your way. And I'm going to talk about, does the economy need more cash injection when we come back, along with a China blacklist? And then at the 5:30 mark, Karen Strong is going to join us. She's been on before. She is actually a feminist turned conservative, if you would. It's probably the best way for me to describe her. We're going to talk about Netflix. So we got a lot more in store for you. Another full hour coming your way. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.